do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together just for the reading of the scripture. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate your faithfulness, encouraging each and every week to see people here in their places ready to go, and thank you for that. John chapter 5, please. We just finished a series on our theme for the year, which is Lift Him Up, and talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start a small series here. We're calling it, What Did Jesus Do? What did Jesus do? Remember the big deal years ago, the little, I don't know, bracelets. I don't wear bracelets, but the little bracelets and all this paraphernalia. What would Jesus do, right? Whenever something becomes a marketing campaign, it usually loses its footing. Most of the people that wore the things that said, what would Jesus do, never did what Jesus did, okay? And so it was more of a marketing campaign. But what did Jesus do? Not what would he do. We don't have to guess about what he do because we know what he did. And so we're going to see how Jesus worked in people's lives over the next few weeks and how he can work in our lives. And I hope that's what you desire for your life, is for Jesus Christ to do something wonderful. John chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And that's all they saw. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is it which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives here. We pray this morning as we look at the scriptures, we would catch what you have for us, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What did Jesus do? As I look at this story, I notice that Jesus permanently changes people for the better. The biggest things that Jesus did were usually accomplished in the lives of others. He was all about others. Jesus still wants to do things in the lives of others. That's what we're going to look at. This man was impotent. He couldn't move. He couldn't get up and walk. He struggled with a life that nobody would want to be saddled with. The event takes place in the pool of Bethesda. There are many helpless people that are there looking for a miracle. Those who couldn't walk, as the scripture mentioned, the blind, the paralyzed. Helpless people searching for help from their terrible condition. The story is told that an angel would come down at certain times and touch the water. The first one to get in got healed. This man, because of his state that he was in, could never get in. Someone always beat him to the punch. But now, no matter how we look at this miracle, it's an illustration of the grace of God. See, it was grace that brought Jesus to the pool. Only Jesus would want to mingle with a crowd of those who were totally helpless. He's our Savior. By the way, that's why he came to this earth. Jesus didn't just come to this earth to say, Hey, I'm here. I'm God. Jesus came for a purpose. Primarily to seek and to save that which was lost. We are in a lost condition. We were on our way to hell because of our sin. And Jesus Christ came to die for our sin so we wouldn't have to go to hell. But more than that, he came to offer the abundant life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus did. This man is eventually going to be healed, permanently changed. By the way, let me say this. That too is what Jesus desires for us. Jesus wants to make a difference in our lives. You see, if we truly meet the Savior, it ought to radically alter everything about us. We ought to be different and different for the better. Calvary not only changed our eternal destiny, but more than that, God wants to change our temporary identity. He wants us to be different. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says this, What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What he's saying is, before we were saved, we were all caught up in sin. It was part of our life. It was something we would struggle with. But now when we're saved, really we're dead to sin and we ought to be different. At salvation, when we trusted Christ, we are not only now dead to the eternal consequences of sin, but we can have the freedom from the ongoing crippling consequences of sin that affects so many of us. But how does this happen? There was much against this man, from him even ever making it into the water, the longevity of his ailment, the debilitating results of his ailment, the loneliness of trying to get help all by himself. But Jesus came to him and targeted him and makes a life-changing difference. Now, ask the question, what about us this morning? Can we really have a life-altering difference made in our lives? Can Jesus really change you? Can Jesus really change me in a way that is transforming and permanent? You bet. Christ is not only willing, but he's able. But how does that happen? What will it take for you to become, for myself to become, a changed individual? Well, I want to look through the scripture, and there's several key questions we're going to need to ask ourselves if God is going to permanently change our life. The first question is this: do you really understand your condition? Do you understand it? Verse 4 and 5, this man understood his condition. That's why he was down at the pool in the first place. He understood what was going on in his life, and he really did not like it. That's why he was there in the first place. Because he knew that this condition was not best for him, and he wanted to be changed. Let me say this. No one can ever get the help they need to be changed from God or anybody else unless they realize the true condition that they are in. You see, most people in their lives live in what I like to call a spiritual denial. We look at the situations in our life and we look at the outcomes of our life, and most of that is caused by our sinful condition. We are man. We are sinful by nature. Now, when we're saved, that can be reined in and we're no longer bound by that power, but it doesn't happen if we don't realize our condition in the sight of God. We excuse the things in our life that aren't right. Well, you know, that's just how I am. That's just how I am too. But that doesn't mean that's how we're supposed to be. I'm not perfect. If you say you're perfect, we'll ask your spouse and we'll get the real answer. Amen? She'll tell us. It's not that big a deal. I mean, come on, after all, it's just one area I'm struggling with. It is a big deal. And we don't have to settle for that. But we'll never change until we understand our condition. By the way, sin is not something to be played with. When you say sin, what do you mean? Whenever we go against something that the Bible says, the Bible calls that sin. Now, as human beings, we don't like that word, so we've changed it. It's not sin anymore, it's a sickness. Here's someone that's addicted to drugs. It's like, well, I have an illness, I'm addicted to drugs. To be honest with you, it's not an illness, it was a choice that was made. Before I was saved, there was a lot of things I did that I'm not proud of, and a lot of things I did that were just flat out wrong and sinful. But it was not an illness on my part, it was a choice I made because I was a sinful individual. Those things didn't change until I came to Jesus Christ. Well, I just have this defect in my life. It's not a defect. It's something we choose. By the way, it's not freedom. You see, therefore, you say, well, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. That is true. But it doesn't mean it's right. See, the Bible tells us if we choose to go against God, that's disobedience and it's sin. In John chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. It is addictive. It drives us into slavery. And we don't understand it. But no one will change unless they look at their condition from God's eyes and say, this isn't right. Do you really understand your condition? This man did. He said, I don't like the way I am. Number two, have we become comfortable in your condition? Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been long time in that case. You know what happens sometimes? We're in bad situations in life. We're struggling with certain things in our life that we don't like, that we know aren't right. And the worst part of that is the things that we do have consequences. And it causes conflict in our life. It causes problems in our life. I have found that sometimes if the longer we go without dealing with it, the more comfortable we become in uncomfortable conditions. It's amazing. You think of a lady that's battered by her husband. And by the way, that's horrible. You say, how do you solve that? It's very easy. You pick up the phone and dial 911. Very simple. But there's a lady that just thinks, well, this is just something I have to put up with. I don't understand that. People that have things in their life and it's causing problems in their life personally. It's causing problems in their family and they know it's wrong and yet they get comfortable in the misery. Now this guy had been in this condition 38 years. You know why he was healed? He wasn't comfortable in it. Are we getting comfortable in what's going on in our life? Are we comfortable with living life without a true eternal purpose? Most people get up and they just get up and they head to work and they're just trying to make it through the day and make enough money to get home and pay the bills and then wake up tomorrow and do the same thing all over. And by the way, that's called responsibility and I get it. But you know there's more to life than that. When we meet Jesus Christ, he not only helps us in our life, he gives us a purpose, a real reason to live, a reason to get up in the morning. It's not just to pay the bills for the family. It's to raise a family and be a father and have influence in the family. It's not just to get through the day. It's to go through the day and spend time with the Lord and be an encouragement to somebody. But we get comfortable living without purpose. We get comfortable in a marriage that's not quite what God wants it to be. Yeah, we're married, you know, and yeah, the old lady's at home, and yeah, I got the old man. Listen, can I say something? Marriage, we joke about marriage. Everybody jokes about marriage, but marriage ought to be a good thing. Amen. Now, I will say this, marriage will never be perfect, right? My marriage isn't perfect. You know why? Why, Brother Panana? I was thinking of my wife, but that's okay, too. Because I'm not perfect. If I was perfect, I wouldn't be perfect. Yeah, I don't know. Thank you. You got me. I'm not perfect. By the way, quit looking at me because neither are you. Right? But can I tell you something? What we do is say, well, I'm not perfect. The old lady's not perfect. This is just how marriage is supposed to be. No, it's not. You know what can be better? But we're comfortable with subpar. I just never understand that. We're comfortable with a family life that's not what it could be. Man, you think marriage can be hectic. Family life is hectic. Especially we have so many people in our family. It's just, something happened yesterday. It just does not happen at my house. Never. My wife and I were home together alone. That never happens. I have three of the kids in Cambodia. I don't think Josiah was helping Ryan with something. Emily was with my daughter-in-law. And it was like, I went and sat down next to her on the couch. I'm like, this is weird. How have you been? The quiet was deafening. Our house, there's always people there. But look, you said, well, my family's just not what it wants. Do you know it can be better? Are we comfortable with having craziness in our family? Are we comfortable that it's just not going the direction we want it to go? Do you know it can be better? But not if we're comfortable. Maybe there's some sin in your life. Maybe there's something that privately you struggle with and nobody knows about. And you do it, and you know deep down it's wrong, and you want to get over it, and it's just, I wish I wasn't like this, but you've become comfortable in that position. Do you know you don't have to be? Never be comfortable. You know what? You know what? And maybe it sounds like spiritual selfishness. Don't settle for second best. Really. If someone said, I'm going to buy you a car, here's your choices. You could have a Maserati or a Ford. Why in the world would someone own a Ford? Seriously, think about it. Now, you better have AAA. You know? Or I got a fully restored 1984 Yugo. By the way, why would someone restore those things? Man. You know what? I'm not worldly or something, but I'm like, I'll take the Maserati. Thank you. You can have a Ford or another Ford. No thanks. I'll walk. But look, someone says, I'll give you $10 or I'll give you $100. Give me the $100. I want what's best. Maybe that sounds selfish. But you know, if God offers a life that's better, I'll take it. Why would I not take it? He offers it because we get comfortable with where we're at. The third question is, do you really, really want to change? Verse 6, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? He looked at the guy and said, do you really want to be changed? That's the question. See, most people don't want to change. Maybe sometimes our lack of change is born out of believing that our current life, with its deep disappointments, is just the best we can have. Not if you're saved. You see, some of us are practical atheists. We're not atheists. We believe in God. We believed in Christ. But we limit what he can do in our life. I don't want to limit what God can do. I know God can do great things. Maybe you've bought the lie that if I go forward for the Lord, I'll be missing out on life. The problem is when we have that kind of mentality, it takes 10 or 15 years and you look back and say, nope, I didn't miss out. I did miss out. I'd rather look back and say, I did miss out on the garbage and I did get in on the good stuff than to look back with regret. Let me just say this. I don't care what your flesh is telling you. I don't care what your mind is telling you. I don't care what someone else is telling you. The best life you can ever live is a Christian life. And by the way, I'm not a choir boy. I didn't grow up in church. We didn't go to church in our house. Single parent family. I did whatever I wanted. I got all the garbage, all the nonsense. And I looked at it. I'm like, there's got to be something better. This just doesn't work. Well, Jesus Christ does. So let's get connected to him. Do you really want to change? Maybe you need to look around you and realize there's something better. God's not holding out on you. If things aren't going well, it's probably because we're holding out on him. But I do know this, you will never change unless you decide that you want to change. That doesn't mean that you change yourself by your own power. That's futile too. Change comes about when we allow God to work in our life and we're willing to do what he tells us to do. That's where real change comes. Change. I read a book years ago. It was talking about psychology and Christianity. And I only remember one thing about it. The one thing he said is the number one determining factor on if someone will ever change is this. Do they really want to change? If not, it's not going to happen. Years ago, we had a guy come to the church, and this was years ago in the Anaheim building, probably 20 years ago. And he was telling me about all his problems he was going through. And he just started telling them to me. And I'm like, you know what, man? I wanted to encourage him a little. I said, man, we can get through this. I got some things. He goes, I don't want to change. I just want to tell you my problems. I'm like, okay, go ahead. And he started talking. I just walked away while he was talking. He goes, hey, where are you going? I'm like, I don't want to hear that stuff, man. I'll get suicidal. Don't just tell me your problems if you're not looking to get better, man, because I don't want to jump off the bridge with you. You can jump first. It was a waste of time. He didn't want help. How many of us, we don't want help? God wants to change us. Let me ask you this. Fourthly, will you stop charging others? I like verse 7. Now, Jesus asked him a question. Here was a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, that's one of those questions like you ask your children, right? Hey, did you do that? And it's like, oh, you know, I was at the store the other day. I'm like, wait a minute, that was a yes-no question. Yes, I did that, or no, I didn't do it. So what's his answer? Do you want to be made whole? The answer should have been, yes, I want to be made whole. But here's his answer. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. He said, I can't. No one's here. No one will help me. And whenever there's an opportunity, I'm missing out on it. Now, that sounds silly, but let me say this. I don't know how many people in the course of my life I've talked to that they don't change, and the reason they don't is because they blame somebody else. So it's because of the way my parents raised me. And by the way, your parents may have done a bad job. Your parents may have done things that were wrong, but can I tell you something? You're an adult now. Don't settle for that. Don't let the past chain you and deny your future. There are things in our past that, but it's like this. We don't have to be chained to that. Let's go forward. But you know what we do? It's almost like that. We're comfortable as long as we can say it's someone else's fault. Let me just tell you something. Who pays the consequences? And you're paying the consequences. Last Sunday, we talked about bitterness on Sunday morning. We get bitter towards somebody. Who pays the consequences when we get bitter? We do. I could be bitter at Brother Jim, and I sit up at night thinking about him, and you know what he's doing? He's sleeping. Who am I hurting? I'm hurting myself. Listen, let's not blame people. Let's take responsibility for the part of it that's ours, and let's go forward. Don't be chained to the past by blaming others. Number five, will you take a chance? So he gives his excuse. Jesus, you want to be made whole? He goes, man, there's no one here to help me. No one's going to bail me out. I always miss the opportunity. Things aren't going right. And here's what Jesus says. He said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, he didn't say, brother, you're healed. He didn't say, come on over here, let me slap you on the forehead. I'll breathe on you. You'll fall. We'll take an offering, and then you'll be healed. You know what he did? He said, enough of the nonsense. Get up and walk. That's it. He asked him to do something he could not do. Now, the guy didn't argue with him. What did the guy do? And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. He just said, okay, I'll do it. And he got up. He did something he could never do before, not because Jesus said he was healed, because Jesus said, do it. You know what it takes to be different? I'm going to tell you something. You need to take a risk. You got to take a chance. Can I just tell you something? I don't know. I told you, man, I didn't grow up in church. I'm sitting in church. I'm a new Christian, man. I'm on fire for God. And the pastor would get up there and he'd say stuff, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's not how I live. And it's like, you're supposed to, I'm like, are you serious? But I'm looking in the book, and it's like, yep, it's right there. So you know what I did? I did it. My friends were not the right kind of friends. When I was with my friends, it was worse. And I'm like, I can't hang around them anymore. Now, I didn't have, you know, I wasn't, Robert, that's why I quit hanging around you, man. We used to have Bible studies in Robert's garage, and it was not Bible studies. And I'm like, I'm just like, I ain't hanging around my friends anymore. Now, I could have been kind about it. I just quit calling them. Now, they're like, what happened to you? I remember one Friday night, I'm sitting home. Friday night, I never did that. My mom probably was like, what in the world is going on? And my buddies came by. They wanted an intervention. Like, brother, where you been? Let's go out. And then they're like, what were you doing? And I'm like, you know what I really was doing? I'll be honest with you. You know what I was doing? I was back in my bedroom reading the Bible. Man, that went over really well. I'm like, I was reading my Bible, and they're like, what's that all about? I'm like, I don't know. They left pretty quick. Pretty quick. But, you know, I had to step out and say, you know what? I'm going to do what God. Now, it was all foreign to me. Man, it was all foreign to me. It was like another planet. But you know what? I'm like, I'm going to go with God on this thing. I don't want to be the way I was. And these are the steps I need to take. Now, by the way, I did love my friends except for Robert. And I invited them to church. And I was kind to them. And I don't know why. I just didn't like you. Fact of the matter is, I still don't. But anyhow, but the thing is, I'm like, I'm going for it. And I didn't know how it was going to work out, and it was kind of weird to me, but you know what? I'm glad I did. One more time, and you're out of here. I took a chance. You know, I like spiritual risk takers. I don't know, the first time I said, you know, that we do our Easter door knocking, we're out inviting people to our church for Easter, and they want us to do that at church. I'm like, no, that's another step. I'm going to go out and invite people to church. Are you serious? I'm going to talk to them about, you know, Jesus? That's kind of weird. But I'm like, I'll do it. By the way, I was a risk taker when I was a pinhead. The stuff we would do, we did crazy stuff just because we wanted to do crazy stuff. And there was excitement in being dumb. It's probably why I got kicked out of high school. But that was like, why can't we do that spiritually speaking? God wasn't asking me to do the kind of stuff I was doing. He was asking me just to say, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I love Jesus. And hey, I want to be different. Take a risk. See, some of you are being held back in your Christian life because you're believing the lie. If you go forward for God, you're losing out. Yep, you're losing out on the wrong things, though. I don't regret a minute of it. Sometimes I look back and I'm thinking, man, where would I be if I did not start serving the Lord? I guarantee I'd be divorced. I still might be, but I'm just kidding. I probably would because I didn't get it. I was selfish. My wife's like, you still are, buddy. Come on now. My wife's a saint, that's why. I can't figure out which one. I think I bypassed a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I know I did. And man, sometimes you got to pinch yourself to say, man, I'm glad where I'm at. Thank God. I don't regret a minute of serving God. Now, those first 17 years, I have a lot of regrets. But the last 15, thanks for catching that, okay? Good. Okay, what do we got here? Next question. Are you connected to Christ? I like this. So, he didn't know who Jesus was. He just got healed. And they're asking him, you know, I like the religious people. They're like, hey, they didn't see this guy that had been sick for 38 years that's healed. They see a guy carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. Hey, what are you doing? It's a Sabbath day. You can't carry your bed. By the way, if you get healed, it's okay. That wasn't work, by the way, all right? He was just carrying his bed home because Jesus said carry it home. They're like, hey, who healed you? It's like, I don't know, this guy. He said, take my bed and go. And, yeah, I'm walking. They say, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. It's like, brother, go ahead. So, you know, give me a ticket. I'll take the ticket. This is the first time I've been able to walk in 38 years. He doesn't know who Jesus is. So Jesus wants to connect with them. Guess where he finds this guy? At the temple. The guy's like, I guess he thought that, man, something good happened. I ought to go down to the temple. This wasn't just something small. This was something miraculous. I'm going to the temple. And Jesus goes and meets him there. You know how you get permanently changed? We better be connected to Jesus Christ. Not just, you see, it isn't just when I got, became a Christian all those years ago, it wasn't like, thank you for that, Lord, I'll see you in heaven. No, he wants to have a relationship with me now. That's the starting point. You know, we used to use the term born again Christian. Well, we are. We're born again when we get saved. Our spirit, which was dead, is now alive unto God. Now we can have a relationship with him. See, when we receive Christ, we are born into God's family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I have a new father. I might want to have a relationship with him. I'll tell you, I become permanently changed. It's not willpower. It's Christ's power. And I better plug into the source. I mentioned before, after I got saved, I didn't go to church right away. And I worked at a shop, and I had a dirty mouth. It's probably hard for you to understand that. I remember this biker came in. They used to share some of our equipment, Harley Davidson shop. And the guy came in, he says, man, you cuss too much. That offended me. A biker says you cuss too much, that's a problem. And I said, I ain't cussing anymore. And you know what? That took about 5 minutes. First time I smashed my finger on a wrench, I didn't say glory to God. And I'm like, yeah, forget it. I do cuss too much. But can I just tell you something? When I got connected to Christ, I didn't even try. It went away like that until I got married. Just kidding. Just kidding. Go back to point four. I'm kidding, all right? My wife's fine. It's my in-laws that cause a lot of problem there. I do have the best mother-in-law in the world. She lives 1,200 miles away. But she's a great lady. Where were we at? Connected to Christ. It's all good. All right, we're done. Number seven, let me give you this and we're done. Are you willing to commit? Verse 14, he says, he meets him at the temple, and he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. He says, you're healed now. Now, and I'm going to tell you something. I want you to be different. This guy had to take that challenge. Our society, we hate to commit, don't we? Because we've been burned. We've been burned by people. We've been burned by contract. We've been burned by stuff. It's okay to commit to Jesus Christ. That was the key to my change. You know what I did? I said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be committed to this thing. Once I made that decision to commit, that's when it all broke loose. I was connected to Christ and all these things were going on. You'll never be different if you're not committed to becoming different. Never. It's not like, you know, sometimes people come to church because they have problems. And they need help. They want encouragement. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. People come sometimes and say, I know I don't come here very often, but I'm having a problem. And I hate to come to church because I have a problem. That's a good thing. That's a smart thing to do. But let me say this. You don't get help if you don't commit. You got to be committed. We got to say, you know what? I'm doing this thing. This is who I am. This is what I want to be. And I'm going to commit myself to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning. Do you really want change in your life? Do you really want to be different? What difference has Jesus Christ made in your life? If and this was my case for a short time too, so I'm not condemning you. But if you're a Christian and nobody knows it, maybe you're not very different. And by the way, I'm not saying you go to work and jump up on a table with a Turner Burn shirt and say, ta-da, Christian's here. That's retarded. Okay? If you do that, I hope you fall off the table. You know what I'm saying? That's retarded. Come on. They ought to just watch you and say, you know, he's not a Pharisee. He's not condemning, but there's something different about that guy. Something good's going on in his life. That draws people to Christ. You say, man, that's not the story of my life. God can change us. You say, I'm struggling in something and nobody knows about it. Maybe it's something in my heart and I've been fighting. You can be changed if you take the right steps. Don't settle for second best. Let's settle for what God has for us. And by the way, you say, when will I be done being changed? When you're in heaven. Look, when I first got right with God, there was all kinds of junk in my life. That stuff was cleansed easily. The first thing I had to do is go to my room and clear everything out. Once that was clear, it's like, wow, okay. And then I'm like, hey, I've arrived. I've changed all this outward stuff. And then God's, no. God said, hey, let's go inside. You got some attitudes that you need to deal with. I'm like, no, I'm good. He's like, no, you're not. He started chiseling at those. Say, is he still chiseling? Yep, still chiseling. But he wants to make us different. I hope you want to be different today. Let's pray. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes together. Thank you for being here. Let's all stand, if we could, for just a minute.